The bedroom spins around me as my fingers grip my son's phone. I replay the message.
Abel, I know you're still looking for Ruthie.
Bethany's voice is withdrawn, distant. But I really hope you can make it back to Garden Temple soon, because the prophet has told us his revelation. We've been waiting for so many years for this time, for this moment, but it's here. Our garden has grown and it's time. It's time for all of us to return to Eden. I close the flip phone that Olive took from her big brother's backpack before he slipped away in the night. Bethany's words linger heavy in the air. Did someone pressure her to make this call, or was it something she wanted to do? A warning?
I have to go get him,
I whisper, sitting on the edge of my bed, still in my pajamas, my hair unruly, my heart heavy. One night of peaceful sleep was all the rest I was getting. Ruthie, my 8-year-old, spent 2 nights in captivity, and she was just found. Now my son, Abel, a teenager with nothing but reckless love on his mind, is gone. Is he trying to spare me more pain?
What's going on?
Ruthie asks, rubbing her eyes, now awake. Abel left, I tell her, pushing her wavy hair from her eyes. He left for Bethany.
Is he coming back with her, with their baby?
She asks.
Baby.
Bethany is 15 and pregnant with my son's child. Everything about this situation feels like history repeating itself, except it is so much worse this time. I need to get them both out before something irreversible happens. I look at Olive. At 12, she understands that Abel and Bethany leaving the compound, where they've lived their entire lives, is no simple thing. It would mean turning away from their family and friends, and if they believe the prophet's words, they might refuse to come with me at all. I can't wait to find out what either of them are planning, I tell both my girls. I'm scared something bad might happen to them if I don't go get them and force them to leave myself.
Something bad like what?
Ruthie asks, following me as I get out of bed.
Bad like Dad might never let them leave,
Olive says. But in my gut, I know it is worse than that. Worse than not letting them leave. Going to Eden means moving into the place Jeremiah has prepared for us. But what if he has sinister plans once they get there? What if it's not a destination so much as a spiritual state of mind, a permanent state?
We can call the police, Ruthie says. They are super nice. They helped you find me, didn't they?
The three of us descend the stairs, entering the kitchen. The house feels empty without my son here, even though he'd only been here a few days. The police have been in my house for the last 2 days as we worked tirelessly to find Ruthie. The idea of calling them again exhausts me, but I know I need help if I'm going to do this. The police in Tacoma aren't the same police who live near the compound. They're different departments, I explain to Olive and Ruthie as I begin to make a pot of coffee. Coffee. I feel like it's all I live on.
What do you mean? Olive asks. I thought the police would help anybody.
Right, I say. But when we suspected your father of being the one who took Ruthie, the police from Tacoma were the ones who drove over to interview him and to clear him, not the police who work where he lives. Does that make sense?
Kind of, Ruthie says slowly. So you're saying we need the police by the compound to help get Abel back?
Her voice lifts as she finishes her sentence. Still too young to fully understand this, and honestly, I'm not sure if I want her to. I need to protect her. God knows I haven't done a very good job of it so far, considering she was stolen from our driveway while taking out the trash.